Well, I was seeking the Lord this week and asking Him for a word to bring you this morning. And I had something in mind I was working on and just wasn't pleased with it, wasn't satisfied, it wasn't clicking. So I went back and sought the Lord some more. And I had this impression, this sense that it would be relevant, it would be helpful for me to talk to you this morning on the topic of God's guiding hand. And I don't have a text with me this morning. I'm going to do something a little out of keeping with what I normally do. Oftentimes, we open the Word of God together, and I get into the Word of God, and I exposit it, I open it up. I preach expositionally, but this morning I'm going to preach topically. Just because there is such an amazing and wide and broad, how do I put this? The truth of God's guiding hand, I wouldn't want to limit it to one text. What I did was I just simply went into my Bible program and looked up God's guidance and just took me all over the Bible. And I looked at it, I studied it, and I want to bring to you this morning my findings on the whole doctrine, the whole topic of God's guiding hand. And so that's what we're going to do this morning. So let's just ask God to bless us as we do that. And we will be in God's Word. We'll be all over the place in God's Word this morning. So don't worry about that. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we want to thank you for an opportunity to listen to your Word and to listen to the topic of your guiding hand in our lives. And we just pray, Father, that you will bless our time together, that you'll help me and help your people. We are in need of a word. We're in need of direction. We're in need of guidance. And so, Lord, please help us as we get into your word together this morning. Give us the things that we need. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, this past week I read a fascinating story about a man who climbed Mount Everest. Now, it's a remarkable achievement to climb Mount Everest, and to my knowledge, only about 75 people have done that. But what made this man's achievement absolutely mind-blowing and unprecedented is that he climbed Mount Everest completely blind. Can you believe that? You wonder, how on earth does a guy climb the tallest mountain in the world blind? And I was wondering that myself, and I read on. Apparently, he was up with a team, and the team communicated to him by ringing bells and by calling out to him, and they would say things like, death crevice on the right, go left, go forward, up you go. And by coaching him in this way, they were able to guide him to the top of Mount Everest. And as I read the story, I just couldn't help but think of the way that God guides His people. Oftentimes, we have a vague sense of where we want to go. We're just not sure how to get there. Or sometimes we don't know where we're supposed to go. There is so much uncertainty, we are like blind people climbing up Mount Everest, and we need a guiding hand. The great thing is that God provides just that kind of hand. And this morning, we're going to take a look at the whole concept of God's guiding hand. And what I want to do is I want to explore this with you by asking three poignant questions that are designed to help us to understand this amazing and comforting truth of God's guiding hand. And the first question we're going to ask is this: where does God guide you? That's a pretty fair question to ask, I think. If you were being asked by anybody to follow them, if someone said to you, I want you to come this way, come over here, follow me, the question that you would naturally ask is what? Where are we going? Where are you taking me? That's a legitimate question. And so when we think of God's guidance, it's I think, a very normal question to ask. Where are we going? Where does God guide? You know, I thought about that and I studied it out this week and I came to this conclusion that God guides you to a good place. If you could summarize, if you could sum up where God guides His people, I think you could say that and safely say that, that God guides His people to a good place. What does that mean? What does that look like? Well, for one, it's this. God guides His people to a place of righteousness. Psalm 5:8 says this, "Lead me, O God, in your righteousness." No, just think about that. Psalm 143, verse 10 says, "Lead me in the land of uprightness." There's an assumption in the psalmist's prayer, and the assumption is this: God, I believe that you lead me and you guide me to do what is right, to a place of righteousness, to a place of holiness, to a place of obedience. That's the assumption of the psalmist. Hey, did you know that right now in your life that God is doing something? You know what it is? He is guiding you to a place of obedience. He is leading you and making you and conforming you into the image of Jesus Christ. Did you know that? You ever wonder, you know, why do I get these convicting feelings? Why do I learn these great truths about God? God's guiding you. He's guiding you to a place of righteousness. But not only righteousness, but to a place of rest. And some of you, if I'm not mistaken, could really use a little rest right about now. Isn't that true? Physically and spiritually. Hey, you know, we're on a journey, and on this journey, we get tired, don't we? We get physically tired, and we get spiritually tired. But here's what God does. Knowing that, and He knows it, God guides us to a place of rest. Psalm 23, verse 2 says this, "He makes me to lie down in green pastures, and He leads me beside still waters." And that expression, beside still waters, literally in the Hebrew is rivers or waters of resting. Okay? It's the picture of God taking His sheep, and He just makes them lie down in that grass. You know, you ever lie down in the grass all cushy and verdant and just for a snooze, just for a time of resting, and the water's gently going by, and all the cares of the world just seem to leave you, and you just exhale, and you breathe, and you rest, and you sleep. It's a beautiful picture of rest. And God gives His people rest. Jesus said in Matthew 11:28, He said, "Come to me, all you who labor and who are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. I'll give rest for your souls." You know, God knows His children. He knows that we get tuckered out physically and spiritually. And God knows how to lead us to a place of rest. Not only rest, but a place of refreshment. Listen to this. Isaiah 49, verse 10. God says about those who are hungry and thirsty that He will pity them and He will lead them by springs of water. He will guide. By springs of water, He will guide. Are you thirsty? Is there a dryness in your soul? Is there a hunger in your soul? God knows when His children get hungry, when they get thirsty, when they need to be refreshed. And here's what He does. He leads us by springs of water. In fact, you're on a journey right now that is going to terminate, that is going to end by springs of water. Do you know that? Revelation 7, verse 17 says this about eternity, about heaven. It says that this is a place where God will guide His people by springs of water. Revelation 7, 17. It's a picture of glory. It's a picture of never-ending refreshment. You see, this is where God's guiding you. He's guiding you to a good place, to a place of righteousness, to a place of rest, and to a place of refreshment. And that tells us something about the heart of our God, doesn't it? It does. It absolutely does. It tells us that God is not out to hurt us. He's out to help us. He is. He's a good God. And He's leading us to good places. He's guiding us there. Now look, those places might not always seem good. Sometimes the places He leads us are very difficult and very painful. But even those are good places because God, Romans 8:28 says, He works all things together for good. And so even though it might seem hard and painful, hey, listen, God never leads His people to anything but a good place, a place that is designed for their benefit and for their good. He's not out to hurt you. He's out to help you. How many of you have seen the movie The Lord of the Rings? In the first of the trilogy, in The Fellowship of the Ring, there's a very interesting encounter between Gandalf and Bilbo. And Bilbo is a hobbit. He's the one who went to the mountain in The Hobbit and was able to get the ring and everything. Anyways, he's poisoned by the ring, essentially. And Gandalf knows that the Dark Lord Sauron is looking for the ring. And he sends out his dark riders to the Shire because he knows the ring is in the Shire. And Gandalf knows that the ring is not safe at the Shire, nor in the possession of Bilbo. And so he's there to relieve Bilbo of the ring and get it back to Mount Doom to be destroyed, to destroy Sauron. And there's this tussle between Bilbo and between Gandalf. And Bilbo actually accuses Gandalf of wanting the ring for himself. And at that point, Gandalf just sort of becomes very wizardly and very great. And it's almost terrifying. And he says to him, I'm not trying to hurt you. I'm trying to help you. You see, when it comes to God as our guide and the question, where is He leading you? Understand this. Get a grip on this. Grasp this in the upcoming year, that no matter what your situation looks like, no matter where He's leading you, God's design is not to hurt you. It is to help you. And God's hand is attached to a very generous and a very good heart. In Psalm 78, verse 72, describing the way that God led His people, Israel, out of Egypt, it says this, God shepherded His people with integrity of heart. You want to know how God's going to shepherd you and guide you and lead you this year? He's going to do it with integrity of heart. He's going to do it with a good heart. And He will lead His people to a good place. Where's God taking you? To a good place. It's going to be a good place, no matter what. You can be sure of that, because God is good. Get that. Grasp that in the upcoming year. That's the first question. The second question is this. How does God guide us? How does God guide us? If you've ever had to trust somebody to guide you, to lead you, you know this is a fairly important question. And you often, if you've ever been in that situation where you're being led, where you're being guided, want to know the answer. How are we going to get to where we're going? I want to put before you a couple of, I think, glorious truths about how God leads His people. And these truths are designed to excite you, to motivate you, to encourage you to seek God's guiding hand. And the first is this, that God guides with perfect wisdom. How does God guide? He guides with perfect wisdom. If you've ever had to trust somebody, if you've ever had to allow them to lead you, you know how important this is. The people that lead you and guide you, you hope and trust that they know where they're going. If they don't know where they're going, or if they forget where they're going, you get totally stressed and you get anxious. Isn't that true? Okay. Well, listen. When God guides His people, He does it with perfect knowledge and inexhaustible wisdom. In Psalm 32, verse 8, God says this, I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will guide you with my eye. I'll guide you with my eye. Psalm 73, verse 24, you will guide me with your counsel, and afterward you will receive me to glory. You see, God's got this great big eye, and God can see everything. He can see the entire future, your future. Nothing is off limits to God. Nothing is blurred to God's vision. He knows absolutely everything. That's why the psalmist is so comforted in Psalm 139, because you do see everything. You know my way. You know everything. Hey, listen. If you were to get a guide, if you were to have someone lead you, wouldn't you want that person to know absolutely everything about where you're going? I mean, when somebody does have that kind of knowledge, it's a little easier to trust them. Well, guess what? God knows everything. There's nothing that He doesn't know. And that qualifies Him to be the supreme guide of your life and to trust Him because you know that He sees everything. He has perfect wisdom. You say, well, what does that have to do with me in terms of getting that wisdom? I mean, how do I do that? I need some help here. I need to see the way forward. And you do. And there are a few things that you need to do in terms of getting a hold of God's vision for you. And well, here they are. One is this. God's guidance often comes through sanctified common sense. Do you find that? You know, how do I go forward? Where do I go? Well, just use your sanctified common sense. God's given you a brain. God has sanctified that brain. He enables you to make wise choices. He does. What else? Well, He does it through His people. There's a reason why the church exists, why there are so many people in the church. There's wisdom in the people of God. We are to share that with one another. Proverbs 24, verse 6 says this, that there is safety in the multitude of counselors. What else? Well, through His providence. You ever have asked God for something and you're praying for His guidance and His leadership and you think you're making the wise steps and you're prayerful about it and you sought the advice of the people around you that you really esteem and consider to be wise and you step out. And as you step out, God wants you to look at His providential signs, confirming, saying yes or saying no, opening doors or closing doors. There's a great example of this in the book of Acts. In chapter 16, verse 7, there's Paul, the missionary, he's going, and God closes a door on a certain gospel opportunity. It says this, "But the Spirit of Jesus did not allow them to go into the region of Bithynia." He closed the door. Don't want you to go there. Don't know what it was, what providential means God used, but it was clear to them, don't go there. And so they went somewhere else and had a fruitful ministry. And so, you know, as we go along, and as we go out in faith, trusting in God's guiding hand, we look for signs of His providential dealings, closing doors, opening doors, making the way clear before us. But ultimately, the most important thing that God has given us in order to follow Him is what? It is His Word, right? Psalm 119, verse 105, "Your Word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." God would never lead you in a way that is unethical, in a way that's contrary to His Word, so you know that. He would only lead you according to His revealed will. And there are principles in the Scriptures, there's guidance in the Scripture for His people sufficient to lead us and lead us according to God's will. And so we use all of these resources, our sanctified common sense, the safety that comes in the multitude of counselors. We think of providential means that God uses. We think of the Word of God. All of these things enable us to see the way forward and to see how God is guiding us. And so God guides us with perfect wisdom, but He does something else. He guides us with perfect power. With perfect power. You see, not only is it important to be able to know what God sees, it's important to know that God is an all-powerful God. And the picture that the Scriptures uses to capture this idea is God's hand. How many of you have been reading your Bibles and you've come across the expression, the hand of God, the right hand of God? That's a picture of power. It's a picture of God in action, moving and doing things. In Psalm 139, verse 10, David says that no matter where I go, your right hand will lead me and it will guide me. In Isaiah 41, verse 13, God says this, "For I, the Lord your God, will hold your right hand, saying to you, fear not, I will help you." Isn't that a great promise? See, time and again, the Bible presents God as having a hand and God leading His people by His hand. That's how God does it. Not only does He know everything,
Not only does he know where to lead you, but he can actually do this because he's got this great big hand. It's his hand of all powerfulness. And he leads his people with that hand. And here's the thing. You and I have got to take hold of that hand. It's not enough to sort of sit back and say, okay, God, guide on. Right? We can't do that. We have got to take hold of God's hand. In other words, we have got to trust him. We've got to put our hand in his by faith. And here's what God promises to do as we prayerfully depend upon him. Listen to these promises. Proverbs 3, verse 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths. Psalm 25, verse 5. Lead me in your truth and teach me. Psalm 27, 11. Teach me your ways, O Lord, and lead me in a smooth path because of my foes. Psalm 61, verse 2. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I. Psalm 139, verse 24. Lead me in the way everlasting. Psalm 143, verse 10. Lead me in the land of uprightness. Do you hear the psalmist's plea? Lead me. Lead me. I don't know where I'm going. You've got to lead me, right? Take me by the hand and guide me. I need you to do this. This is the psalmist in his desperation. Doesn't know where to go. Lead me. Guide me. Help me, God. Not long ago, you know, my youngest daughter, Micah, began to learn how to walk. And it's so amazing when you have a little child like that. And you just go over them and you hold your hand, you take your hand, and you can just take them wherever you want them to go. Isn't that true? Just lead them along, and they don't know where you're going. They don't really care. They're just, you know, they're happy to be with you. It's exciting. It's fantastic for them. And oh, that we, as God's people, would be like children, learning how to just put our hand out and say, by faith, God, I am trusting you to lead me, to guide me. And thank you that you know all things. And thank you that you can do all things. In other words, thank you that you are sovereign over my life. And because you are this God, I am trusting you to lead me and to guide me. And so in answer to the question, how does God lead us? He leads us with perfect wisdom. He leads us with a perfectly powerful hand. And we take his hand. And we're confident that no matter where he takes us, it's a good place. And then thirdly, the third question we need to ask is this. Why does God guide us? Why does God guide us? We've already seen where God guides us. He guides us to a good place. And we've seen how he does that. That he does that through perfect wisdom and through perfect power. But now we need to ask the question, why does God lead us at all? Why? That's an important question. Why is God doing this? Why hasn't God made my future already clear to me? How come he hasn't mapped it out to me? How come he calls me to trust him? How come we have this relationship where he says follow and I'm supposed to follow? Why? Well, there are two reasons. And the first of these reasons is this, because God wants to show that he is good. And he wants your good. He does. He is not out to burn you. He's not out to destroy you. He's not out to hinder you or hurt you. Whatever he does for his people, he does for your good. In Jeremiah 29, verse 11, this is what God said to his people. I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to what? Anyone know? To prosper you and not to hurt you or harm you. Plans to give you a future and a hope. This is what God is doing. You want to know what your future is? Here's your future. God is giving you a future of blessing, a future of hope, not to hurt, but to help you, to bless you. God has your good in mind in 2007. He does. Would you please not leave here this morning and doubt that?
Would you please not leave here this morning and forget that truth? Would you not forget that on June the 5th? Would you not forget that on October the 19th? That no matter where God takes you this year, wherever He leads you, He's doing it for your good. He wants you to be happy. He wants you to have hope. He wants you to be at peace. Okay? That's the first reason why God guides His people. The second is this, and it's the most important. It's ultimate. It's penultimate. And it's this, it's for His glory. And you know that. Psalm 23, verse 2 says that He leads His people in the path of righteousness. Why? For His name's sake. Psalm 32, verse 3, for Your name's sake, lead and guide me. Isaiah 63 says this, so You led Your people to make for Yourself a glorious name. Why does God guide and lead His people? He does it for His own name's sake. He does it for the glory of His name. He does it to make His reputation glorious and known to us. You want to know what's at stake when God guides and leads you? It is the reputation of His name. Now, how many of you have ever promised to do something and you think to yourself, well, I better do that, because if I don't do that, my reputation is shot. My name is shot. Well, listen, God has made some wild promises to you, and they are the promise to guide you and to lead you. God says that in Psalm 73, I will guide you continually. Okay? That means that God's reputation in 2007 is on the line. He's put Himself on the hook. Isn't that amazing? Hey, you know what? So often we get so stressed out, so anxious about our future. What am I going to do? How am I going to be led and all this? And we get so worried and so stressed out. But you know what? God is guiding you, and God's reputation is on the line. Don't worry. Don't be stressed. God's put Himself there. And listen, if God has put His reputation on the line, if He's put Himself on the hook, don't worry. He's going to come through. He's going to make His name glorious through guidance of your life. Okay? Did you see that? Those are massive claims. Those are amazing promises to guide us and lead us. Friends, when we are thinking in these terms of God glorifying His name through the guidance of His people, that's when we begin to be confident. Okay? God, You're doing this. Your name's at stake. And I know that You'll come through, because nothing is more important to You. Nothing is uppermost than the glory of Your own name. So don't stress out. So don't worry. God will make His name glorious as He guides you. Listen, we're entering into a new year. 2007 begins at the stroke of midnight. Don't be worrisome. Don't be anxious. Don't be fretful about the new year. It's enough to know this, that God will guide you and God will lead you. And what He calls you to do, my friends, is simply reach out your hand and take His hand and let Him guide you and let Him lead you. And He will do that no matter where He takes you, no matter how difficult, no matter how happy. He will guide you. He will guide you through 2007 and 2008 and for your entire life, and even on through death itself. He will be your constant guide. Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank You this morning that You are our guide. Thank You, Father, that our paths are known to You, that You have ordained each of our steps. You've called us, ordained us to good works, to walk in them. And Lord, You have already mapped out our next year. You know every day. You know what will come our way, Father. Everything that will come from Your hand, whether good or bad, it will all come from You. Give Your people the faith they need, the and a confidence that they need to trust you, to take you at your word, to believe you when you say, I will guide you. And so, Lord, with that faith in our hearts and that confidence in our souls, we commit ourselves to you at the outset of a brand new year. And we look forward, Father, to the way you're going to lead us and guide us through this next year. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.